Episode 147 of the TV Dudes podcast, recorded August 31st, 2017. Tinks, Tricks, and Dicks. Welcome to the TV Dudes. I'm Grant.
I'm Randy.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Ashley.
We got four of us this time on mic.
That's right.
And the room is going to get a little bit warm because we're talking about ticks, tricks, and dicks, guys.
Yes.
And
there should be one more thing. There should be another thing that rhymes with X.
You think it needs to come in four?
Clicks.
Fix.
Fix.
Yeah, they're all on drugs.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Okay.
Go edit it. Go edit it, Grant.
We could throw Ricks in there and add another show.
Ooh, and Licks. There were BJs.
That's true. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Dick Licks.
And Nick's, because there's a really bad cut in one of those shows, several of those shows.
So this is going to be
It's a rhyming episode.
Hey, folks. This week we're talking about The Tick, The Deuce, which released its episode early over on HBO, and Game of Thrones, the final episode of the penultimate season.
Oh, yeah,
so
that's
sad.
Right. We're not going to get an intent, I've heard, until like 2027.
I mean, yeah, George R. R. Martin, I'm sure he's just holding off until the entire show is done.
Yeah.
Before he releases that book.
I'm sure that's true. I'm sure the book will come out right after.
It's got to be some sort of money-making thing there with him. Mm-hmm. Anyway, guys, before we get into the rest of the show, I want to say, if you guys like what you're hearing, what's wrong with you? But, okay, maybe you do anyway. If you want to help support us, go to patreon.com/TVDudes. That's the worst way to promote us. Patreon.com/TVDudes. There you can make a per-episode pledge. Give us $1, give us $2, give us $20?
Sure.
$27 an episode.
Right.
It's a great amount. And in exchange, we do bonus exclusive content. This week on our show notes, I wrote that we're going to talk about Cash Money and Hoes.
Are we?
I don't think so, but okay. it's a placeholder.
It's one singular thing, Cash Money Hoes.
Cash Money Hoes.
Oh, is that our new site, cashmoneyhoes.com?
That domain's taken.
That site's probably taken. Yeah. It's got to be cashmoneyhoes.net or .biz.
Cash
or .gov. Cashmoneyhoes.gov.
Okay.
Cash Money Hoes don't need a Patreon. They take care of themselves. That sells itself.
In a way, they initiated the Patreon model.
They really did. They are the last true capitalists.
We also wanted to mention that we are part of the Permanent Record Network.
Permanent Record.
And, yeah, we just wanted to promote the network this month. Wait, Ashley, have you heard them do this lately?
I have, but I've never heard it in unison. I'd like to say that I've long had a dream of being a member of the Wacky Morning Zoo crew. To the extent that back in college, when we all cast everybody, I was the Republican on sports. Because in that nerd group, I knew the most about sports. So sound effects and Foley in the background was also going to be part of what I did.
Yeah, where's our soundboard?
Yeah, it warms my heart. That's all.
That's us shooing you off stage. I don't know.
Oh, no.
So permanentrecord.com. That's permanentrcrd.com. There you can go check out a slew of different TV-related podcasts. We keep adding them. In fact, Les is already actively working on a new secret project.
A secret project.
Secret project.
Which I'm on one of those episodes. You're on one of those episodes, Grant?
I believe. I have to do my homework first.
So
we'll see how that goes.
And you know, if you wanted to revisit a certain show that was recorded 1 year ago, almost today it was released.
Just about, yeah.
Beach Cop Detectives is coming up on its 1 year anniversary. So go rewatch Terriers. Go re-listen to Beach Cop Detectives.
Beach Cop Detectives.
Treat yourself.
I was so tired a year ago.
I'm surprised you still talk to me now.
All right, guys. I'm not going to talk to Randy, and I'm going to mute his mic. Moving on. If you like us on Facebook, you can ask us questions once a week. And we got a bunch of questions here.
Yes, we did.
Oh, yeah. Game of Thrones brought them out.
I'm going to go to a new first-time caller, as they call themselves, Jonathan Huffnagel. says, good evening, TV dudes.
Good evening.
Good evening. First time caller, long time evil twin. I've been listening to your show for over a year now, and I found it very amusing that Jonathan Haptemichael has a name similar sounding to my own. That's true.
Yep.
Jonathan and Jonathan Haptemichael Nagel. That's how we're going to portmanteau that. Anyway, I've been watching Twin Peaks, and I am loving it. This got me thinking, what TV shows could benefit from the addition of an evil twin? Also, what evil characters from TV shows could benefit from the addition of a good twin? Mm-hmm. Jonathan Huffnagel out.
I have to say, first of all, the answer to the first question is all TV shows could benefit from the addition of an evil twin. Literally every TV show.
I felt like Lost was leading up to having a lot more evil twins. There was some evil twin action going on in that show, but their little clues were like that book, The Bad Twin. Okay, I'm going to go into
The Bad Twin.
Uh-huh. The Bad Twin and like, yeah, stuff like that, the little Easter eggs. It's like, oh, there's going to be a bunch of like evil twin stuff going on in some alternate reality. We got a little bit of that.
You know what? In an alternate reality, there is a Lost that's entirely about evil twins.
I like this idea, Randy.
Scott Bakula could have played a good evil twin in Quantum Leap.
Yeah.
And then, like, does he see that it's him? Or does he see, like, you know,
is he, a bus like, driver or something? An evil version of him that's also jumping through time trying to, like, kill his other twin?
Trying to stop him from completing his mission?
Yeah.
Or like trying to ruin missions?
Yeah. Make history happen the way that it did.
Isn't that like timeless? Isn't that what's going on with the plot of that?
Oh, yeah. Kind of.
I feel like we're talking about it this week, but I feel like the Tick, the classic Tick, could have used an evil twin Tick.
Ooh.
I would like, he's
a classic.
He's all in green. He's got a mustache. Because they did do a mustache episode, but it wasn't about evil twins.
I don't know.
He could be called the Dick. We just love making that rhyme this episode.
I'm going to go with Ballers because I like The Rock's eyebrow usage.
Yeah.
And I feel like the evil version of him would get to really put his eyebrow talents to work.
You think it'd be a straight up unibrow?
Yeah, pretty much.
Evil unibrow. I could be on board that. What about a good evil twin? A good twin?
BoJack Horseman.
Oh, shit. Just like a version of him that like has his shit together.
Yeah, he volunteers at the local orphanage.
Wait, oh, man.
Isn't Mr. Peanut Butter basically the good twin on BoJack Horseman?
Yeah, he might be.
I would love to see a mirror universe of It's Always Sunny where those guys.
Oh, my God. They're like a charity fund foundation.
Yeah. The bar they're running is actually like this wholesome burger joint.
How have they not done this as long as they've been on the air?
Seinfeld did it when Elaine had the bizarro versions.
Yes, that's right.
Like, we're going to the library. Why? They were Elaine.
The good twins. Yes.
They kicked her out.
I'm trying to think who are some of the best villains on TV right now.
You know, David Tennant's character from Jessica Jones.
Oh, the Kilgrave. The good purple man?
Yeah.
What would that look like?
That'd be kind of weird.
He just asked for permission for everything?
Or no, he'd be sadistic, but he'd be that way towards like bad people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, I thought he'd just make like an amusement park kind of where he convinces all of us we're having fun. I'm eating candy.
Alec Miracle says, in Game of Thrones season 5, we get a flashback of Cersei asking Maggie the Frog 3 questions about her future. All answered truthfully, for better or worse. If you guys could ask 3 no more, no less questions and get the truth as an answer, what would they be? Any question as long as it pertains to your life.
Oh, this is like deep philosophical stuff.
Huh. Yeah, this is getting too personal here.
I feel like we should redirect it. It should be TV questions.
Yeah, because otherwise I'm going to be like, oh, my kids, are they going to die? Yeah. How can I prevent them dying? Yeah, stuff like that.
You don't want to hear those questions. It's just going to depress you and us, and we're just going to cry through the rest of this podcast.
Just going to stare at the wall going, they're getting old.
I'm going to put in a redirect and say that, yeah, it's got to be 3 questions about TV shows, maybe about endings, about shows that are going to come up. Because one of the 3 questions I want to ask is Star Trek Discovery going to suck? Tell me the truth so I know whether
you
I'm
would waste a fucking question on that.
They're TV-related questions.
You can ask anything.
If we can make them TV-related, yes. I would want to know if George R.R. Martin has like a crush on his cousin.
That's so good.
And that's why he has all this incest stuff.
That's so good.
In his story.
That would be brilliant. Oh. Yes.
Related to the discussion we're having off mic, I would ask Mark Wahlberg if, in fact, Entourage is based on his Entourage and not Leo DiCaprio's, because I want to know.
I want John from Cincinnati just straight up explained it to me.
Yes.
Just
what the hell?
What was that show? It popped up. What the fuck was going on?
Grant, I think that's like the million wishes loophole version, because nobody can tell you the truth and the answers. The head would explode. They couldn't do it.
All the Mr. Meeseeks are, yes, like, no! You can't ask us that.
Ashley, any burning TV questions you would have to ask?
Well, the one popped in my head, but it's kind of mean-spirited, so I feel bad.
No, let's hear it anyway.
This is the place for that.
Well, we were just talking about how I both hate Entourage and Sex and the City,
yep,
a lot.
Yep.
The only other show I've really seen with Sarah Jessica Parker in it is Divorce.
Uh-huh.
So I guess I want to know, is she sorry? But I realized that was a bitchy thing to say, so I was going to keep it to myself.
I can give you the true answer, and the answer is no. Nope, not at all.
Ka-ching, cha-ching.
Follow-up question. Should she be? The answer is yes.
Yes.
Yes, she should.
And related question, is Netflix going to do a Square Pegs reunion?
What? That
was Sarah Jessica Parker was on Square Pegs. Do you not know Square Pegs?
Oh.
I thought this was a TV podcast, people.
I feel like you just hit an age gap.
Oh, my God.
I brought a quantum leap. What more do you want from me?
I was born in the 80s. It was like a decade that happened.
God damn it, people.
Right. Yeah.
Now I know how Greg felt all the time.
Kyle was born in the 90s, dude.
Aww.
No, I was born in 85.
Okay, count.
I know. I'm just,
anything you past seem the like five a baby. Yeah.
I mean, I didn't really understand what the world was until 91.
Yeah.
But by then, I had Ghostbusters, too.
Yeah, was it Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves that did it? Oh, and that hit song from Brian Adams,
Brian
Everything
Adams.
You Do. Everything I Do, It For You.
Was an eye-opener for all of us.
It
I actually
really
had
was.
Happy Meal toys
butt
from that.
Cheeks.
Hey, guys. Speaking of butt cheeks, Dennis McElwain asks, I just started watching Fargo Season 3, and I don't understand people's reaction to it being slow. What reaction to a TV show do you just not understand?
Oh, that's a great example right there, because I totally agree with him.
Yeah, I didn't get that. I didn't get that either. I've definitely had this reaction to shows. I'm trying to think of like a notable one where like I hated a show that everybody loved. Oh, you know what? I mean, to be honest, I don't know why everyone loves Twin Peaks so much.
I feel like maybe you need to keep watching till whatever episode just came out this week.
I guess
where everyone flipped their shit because it.
That's the thing. It's like, I am sure, I am 100% certain that I am the one who's wrong, but I just do not understand it. I don't get it.
So when I read this question, I kind of read it differently, like shows that were a little bit of a slow burn. And I was thinking of Parks and Rec had a first season where it was just kind of, it was hard for me to get people. Yeah, it wasn't the best.
It wasn't funny. But it had a great cast.
Yeah, and then they came back the second season.
Maybe they fired all the writers. I don't know. Except Mike.
No,
Scherer.
No, they didn't. It was just they found their groove.
Mine was, why did people enjoy Sons of Anarchy?
You know the answer to that.
I kept watching it.
You love Sons of Anarchy sometimes.
I have feelings toward it.
You know why people loved it.
I don't. I don't want to admit it.
You do too.
Kyle Volte says, hey, TV dudes, with Fuller House on Netflix and Will and Grace on NBC and Twin Peaks on Showtime, everything old is new again. So how upset are you that I can't list Terriers with those shows?
You go to hell, Kyle Volte. You go to hell and you die.
I didn't read this beforehand, so I didn't realize it was just a trolling you question.
I read it. By the way, we don't get a lot of likes and reacts to our questions. There are three laugh, love, and like reacts to that question. You can all go to hell.
Hey, is one of those me? Can you log in real quick so that I can also ha ha?
No, that's one of them's less.
It's a solid less. Burn. It's a solid burn.
I didn't see that coming either. I hadn't read that question. Well played, my friend. Well played.
All right. It seems so thoughtful in the beginning.
It really did. I was like, okay, so I got nervous at Fuller House, but you kept going. Burn.
Fuse.
Solid.
Sorry.
Benjamin Hamill says, hey, dudes, how do you feel about jumping into the middle of a show's run without having seen the rest of the show's previous episodes/seasons? And he says, now, Grant, correct me if I'm wrong, but you haven't seen You're the Worst. And a new trailer was released for season 4. It looks great, by the way. Which comes back on September 8th. And I was thinking, Grant, why don't you just jump in with season 4? I'd really like to know what you think of the show. Oh, it values my opinion.
Yeah, I don't know why.
I'd probably shit on it, and you guys would be like, no, I wish you never watched it.
Yeah, listen, I might murder you.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel so uncomfortable not coming at the beginning of the story.
You know, I'm gonna say, I think he's right on this one. I think you should go ahead and jump in, because I don't think you're going to watch three seasons, and that means you're just not going to watch the show.
Isn't it a half-hour show?
Yeah.
I could probably binge that one.
You should, but if you're not gonna, he's right. You should jump in on the week we're gonna cover it, so you can talk about it. Because I feel like it'd be interesting to see the reaction of someone who didn't have a 3-year history with these characters and see how he reacted to it.
I can do that. I'll watch one episode. I'll see how I feel about it, and then if I dig it, I'll go back and watch them. If I don't, I will crush your soul.
I don't like where this wager is going. I don't like where that
landed. I get to crush your soul. That's just how it is.
In general, jumping in, it's funny because. I grew up in a time when you had to jump into shows in the middle of them. I don't know if you guys know. I grew up in the 70s.
What was that?
Is that back like when in the Deuce?
Yeah, like in the Deuce. Exactly like
back
that all the time.
Back when the world was black and white.
The world was black and white. Yeah. But my eyes looked brown.
Well, you know what? That's nice, though, because I was worried it was sepia.
No, that was the 60s. I was past that.
Oh.
Yeah. But no,
technical.
You had to jump in. I mean, VHSs hadn't been invented yet, or at least they were the size of a room. No, that's computers. Anyway, I didn't have shows like it, so I'd just jump into wherever. But there wasn't serialization to the same extent. And so now, I don't know if you can jump into anything that way. Like, if you start watching Big Bang Theory now, it's just not going to make any sense.
You know, I actually did this recently with one of your guys' favorite shows. Which kind of – I didn't jump in at the middle. I started with season one, and then I skipped the second season and then came back for season three of Leftovers.
That's right.
Yeah, I just totally skipped the second season.
And that so bugs me.
That is a weird way to watch that particular show.
I feel like that last season, though, works really great on its own, even without the second season.
That's so weird, though. You skipped
that second season is great, though.
You only watched it because we were watching it, right? It was like for the show. Like, you weren't going to watch season three unless it was for this show. Because I'm like, who skips season two and then goes back to season three? Unless we're talking about Friday Night Lights.
I only binged season – I was going to try to watch season two. I ran out of time.
Yeah.
So I binged season one, and then I just started on season three. Yeah. And I already got the spoilers, so I was like, that's good.
Justin Zarian says, seven blessings, TV dudes. Black Mirror has released a teaser for their next season, along with the incredibly talented actors and directors tied to them. Do you feel there are any topics relevant to technology and society that the show hasn't covered yet that could make great content in future episodes?
I feel like there's got to be, but it is funny because I started trying to think of one, and I can't think of anything.
Self-driving cars?
Mm.
They haven't tackled that. That's right. Yeah.
They haven't tackled culty technology companies. You know, where like the people who work there like literally are like a cult with everybody else who works for their company.
That's true. Yeah.
Like also, the startup mentality kind of thing.
I was thinking of Apple. Take that, Apple.
But no, like literal cults, you know. Or 3D printers.
They use it to print dildos, but then the dildos attack them.
Sentient dildos.
The shit writes itself, you guys.
I'm pretty sure I've seen that, but it was not on Netflix.
It was back in the 70s?
It was in the 70s.
Trauma. Yeah, we get it. Zach McLernan says, so with Rick and Morty now more than halfway through its third season, do you feel the show's year-and-a-half-long wait was worth it? And has the show started to lag?
I'm really liking the season.
I love it.
Yeah. Same here.
I have been – like the complaints that I've heard from some people were regarding the more character-driven aspects of the show versus kind of the silly things. I think, you know, everyone's on board for the silly shenanigans that go on in Rick and Morty. But the voice of Dan Harmon I feel has been a lot more present as the series has progressed, let alone like this season in particular, where they're really exploring the relationships between Rick and Morty and the relationships between Morty and his sister and the parents and going through a divorce or separation.
Yeah.
And I find that is strong. It's really well executed, and it's so necessary to balance out the absurdity. Like the Pickle Rick episode needed the weight of the larger
the counseling
the counseling issue that was going and the avoidance of heavier topics that Rick was Wait, turning into a pickle.
So are people griping about the family? Like they don't believe it belongs there or don't think it's being done well?
I heard from a couple people that they thought it was like slow, a little bit boring. I was like,
that's so crazy.
That's what I need from these shows. I need Herman's voice because Roiland is just back when I was 13 and watching South Park. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
I love talk about it being slow, like where Jerry is standing in the driveway and you just hear the wind go, loser. Like, I feel like when they slow it down for stuff like that, like the Jerry stuff, I wouldn't leave it in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I agree. I'm totally on board this season. But as to whether or not it was worth a year and a half wait, I don't know if it's so brilliant it needed a year and a half. It takes as long as it takes.
I do think that that season opener, though, was like the perfect way to come back.
After I agree, too. That was a good opener.
Yeah. That and seeing the animation they were able to execute with Pickle Rick flipping around, killing people, it was just a big murder spree. That was impressive. And, you know, Venture Brothers always takes a long time between their seasons, too. Because when you do animation really well, takes a long time.
Yeah, and if we do it, it's like South Park, it goes immediately.
Yeah.
No, it's the best show I've seen where the lead character has transformed himself into a pickle.
Jonathan Haptemichael, or is it Huffnagel? I'm not really sure here. Says, the most common excuse for the issues with Game of Thrones Season 7 I have seen are, it's a show about dragons and zombies. It doesn't have to make sense. Or, this is the best show on TV, so deal with it. What bothers me is the first statement shows that the viewers care more about big set pieces instead of what the show is really about, the character interactions. As for the second statement, I feel like the consistently great seasons of earlier Game of Thrones have been substituted with a set of great episodes and or moments, while the season-long meta story stumbles in either pacing or execution. Are there shows you still consider? I love it's like, I want to make a statement about Game of Thrones. Oh, at the end, how can I wrap that into
a question?
But
I have a question. Well done, sir.
You don't always have to have a question, guys, by the way. But he does have a question here. Are there shows you still consider good, but not as good as it was before? And were there any excuses for later seasons' missteps that you honestly can't agree with?
Orange is the New Black for me.
Yeah? You didn't like the season?
No, I mean, I love that show. I'm doing it. I'm making excuses already. I love that show. I liked the last season, but no, I didn't think it was anywhere near
as good
as the previous.
Yeah.
I hated the last two seasons.
I was okay with the second season, but the third one, it was taking place in another universe. It was so strange. Like, I didn't like it at all.
I feel like the perfect answer to this question would have been Dexter had we not seen the very last episode of Dexter. Because I feel like at every point I was like, I don't know, it's kind of good right now, but not as good as it used to be.
Yeah, I mean, this happens a lot. Even the shows that I love, like Justified, I feel like flagged a little bit toward the end. But I'm trying to think I heard excuses for things where people were like, oh, but this or they're, you know, and I don't remember them because I dismiss them as irrelevant and stupid.
Okay. Our last question. Oh, this last one is a very spoilery one regarding Game of Thrones. So you know what? I'm not going to read it now.
No.
We're going to hold on to this until the very end of the episode where we're talking about Game of Thrones.
And then forget about it. But I would do my best to remember.
Hey, there's four of us in this room. Let's all work as a hive mind to not forget this question.
Exactly.
Here.
Hive mind.
Okay, we're going to take a break, right, guys? We all agree on that?
Yes. Hive mind. All right, so we only have a little bit of news this week, so I'm going to mix it up a little bit. I'm going to create some fake news, and you guys can tell me which ones. And Grant, you can't play because you know which ones are real.
Oh, this is going to be a game for Kyle.
It's a game for, and Kyle actually can see the computer, so it's mostly for Ashley.
I'm not looking,
but Kyle, don't look.
All right,
but all right, okay.
I like games.
So we're going to start, and you guys, before I go into the story, you'll have to tell me whether you think it is fake news or a real headline.
Okay, I'm ready.
Spider-Man: Homecoming writers developing Fox sci-fi TV series.
So I would like to say it sounds not true, but I know it is true.
Okay.
I was going to say.
I cheated on that one. I just knew
not
it.
Not true.
Okay. It is true.
Yeah, it is true. My computer knows I like to hear things about Spider-Man Homecoming.
This is also not in the headline, though. But by the way, the one of the Spider-Man Homecoming writers featured on the show Kitchen Confidential. Is that true or not? As an actor.
Ooh.
I'm going true
with
this one.
Yeah, it is, because it's a kid from Freaks and Geeks.
It is indeed. John Francis Daly. Oh.
I saw that John Francis Daly wrote Spider-Man Homecoming at the end of the credits.
He did.
Like, what?
With his writing partner, Jonathan Goldstein. The two of them have also written Claudio with a Chance of Meatballs 2, Horrible Bosses 2, and the National Lampoon reboot Vacation.
Ooh,
all of which
bosses
I thought were bad, but...
Horrible Bosses 2
I believe you're
garbage.
Also missing Horrible Bosses. One.
So they are writing off the strength of probably Horrible Bosses 2, a show for Fox. So they've got a script for Proxy, which Daly will write. Goldstein is serving as executive producer. And if it presses ahead, he'll also be a writer. It is described as a project centered on technology that allows online followers to live voyeuristically through the experiences of hedonistic young proxies on a remote island paradise.
Oh, so they saw Westworld and liked it too. Good for them.
This idea, I kind of like the idea of basically it's like the old rich people who can sort of like – all these people are going to be like the Eloy in the time travel. They live these hedonistic lives, but they can like – I don't know. Can they inhabit the bodies and sort of experience
like avatars.
It?
Oh, you know what? Yeah. It's like 13th Floor.
Yeah.
Did you guys see that movie?
Or do they follow like 100 people can be inhabiting like that one person, but he's controlling the experience.
Oh,
there.
God. Yeah. Wear a condom.
What was that Bruce Willis movie that did this too?
There's been a
surrogates.
Lot of those like this.
The Surrogates.
The Surrogates, which is based on a graphic novel, by the way.
I was going to guess Die Hard. Is it the first thing I think?
Die Hard 6?
Yeah.
Die Hard is all about, you know, the cokehead dude in the office, like, living vicariously.
Yeah.
Live sedentary or Die Hard?
Die Hard went a little weird after the fifth sequel.
Die Hard Virtuosity.
I think the fifth one was a little weird. Wasn't it rated, like, PG?
Yeah,
So he really did have to yippee-ki-yay Mr. Falcon?
Yes, and he and his son had to fight Russians.
Yeah, it was like, it was like Die Hard or don't, whatever you choose. Right.
next story.
Okay, next story.
Netflix announces it will be releasing 45 new original series between now and December.
I want to say that isn't true, but I'm worried it is. I'm going to go not true.
I'm going to say not true because I read a similar story, so I'm thinking maybe it's a different thing.
But if you had changed that number to 23, I would have guessed
true.
You went too high. But I almost had you. I know. I was like, you know, I don't know. If I call them, that'll be one more.
Instead, I'll go with the real story that Grant put up, which was Netflix investigates the CIA secrets in first Wormwood trailer. So this is a trailer that we watched about the CIA's MK Ultra experiments. They're LSD experiments from 53 to 64. It sounds crazy, and it's anchored by the true story of Frank Rudolph Olson, a CIA employee who plunged to his death from a New York hotel room in 1953 after being given LSD without his knowledge.
So what was it like, Randy, to wake up and get that news?
You know,
was it one of those things like, where were you when we found out about
it? Well, everything was sepia. Yeah. Everything was in sepia times.
You were in your
and
poodle
and
skirt.
And I was in my poodle skirt.
Having at the malt shop.
I was having a malt. I was smoking cigarettes because everyone smoked cigarettes until 1987, I think.
Yeah.
Interesting. Lucky Strikes.
Yeah, Lucky Strikes.
I knew it.
Yep. And I
misogyny?
Was... there was a lot of misogyny. I slapped a girl on the ass, and she gave me a newspaper.
Oh, I was thinking of monogamy.
No, that's still
also a quaint thing of the
also
past.
A quaint thing of the past.
Aww, how cute! Well, that's you shared a milkshake, I think, and then that's how you knew you were monogamous.
Yeah, if you shared a milkshake with someone, you had to marry them.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you would stone them to death in this town square.
Also, there was a lot of herpes back then.
Yeah. That's the was the second most popular flavor of milkshake.
Herpes.
Anyway, Netflix is making a show and. anyway, Netflix is making a show and it sounds interesting.
Yes.
Well, Errol Morris is on it, right?
Yeah. Who's Errol Morris again?
He is a documentarian.
Oh, interesting.
A very, very famous one.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
An Academy Award winning documentarian, unless I'm mistaken.
Oh, you're right.
You have the computer.
It says The Fog of War, 11 Lessons from the Life of Robert S. McNamara.
Boom.
Yep.
Next question.
All right. This thing looks pretty slick. Like, if you haven't seen the trailer,
yeah,
I'd say go online and check it out.
It's interesting. Yeah. And it's coming out in December. It is one of the 75 series Netflix is releasing between now and then.
Well, you know, there was another story. I don't know if you posted it, but they acquired a ton of Marvel properties, like the rights to shows. Yeah. In fact, if you didn't know any better, I'd almost say it looked like they were making a play towards possible animated features.
Interesting. I did not see this story.
I think it was like 45 Marvel properties that Netflix now has the rights to produce shows for. So that's why I thought you were being silly. Like, they're not making that many shows. They just could if they wanted
could if
to.
They could if they They absolutely could if they wanted to. I mean, it's not that crazy. I don't know.
He was trying to catch me on a technicality. They could have.
Judges. Is a lot. All right. This one's interesting. CBS greenlights a Big Bang Theory sequel, not just the prequel they're doing with Sheldon, but they're actually doing a sequel to Big Bang Theory that is going to take older actors, and they're going to do sort of a like an older thing where they're okay, it's bullshit.
I was going to say
true all day on that.
I was going to guess true. I was going to try to name which aging nerds they were going to get for it. Oh my like whose beer gut currently puts them outside of like character actors.
I assume
that's what
I
was
Gary
guess.
Busey would be in this.
I assume that Kevin James would be one of them.
Yeah.
And then so probably the rest of them would be filled out by the coterie of people that Rob Schneider has surrounded himself.
Probably. And then they would get two girls who recently aged out of the Victoria's Secret catalog to play their girlfriends.
Both of them would probably be well-respected stars by the end of the show, even as the guys slowly became worse and worse.
Yeah. We can only assume.
All right.
I love TV.
James Gunn is rebooting Starsky and Hutch.
James Gunn. Is rebooting
Starsky and Hutch.
Starsky and Hutch.
Really? They were like, you can have whatever you want now. And he said, I'm going to do Starsky and Hutch.
That's what I find a little... I'm going to go James Gunn is rebooting something, but it's not Starsky and Hutch.
Kyle, where are you at? True or false?
I'm going false.
100% true.
I could see it too, and I even said false.
It has been confirmed. It's been confirmed for Amazon. Last week we talked about this.
Okay, well, now that makes sense.
There was no story, and I was like, there's no story here. It's just a rumor. Well, it's not a rumor. He posted about it on Facebook. What he said is he was a big fan. He said when he was a kid, it was the first adult show he ever saw. And still a lifelong love of gritty street shows, killer 70s threads, and muscle cars.
Oh, I just thought he liked words like Huggy Bear, because I'm going to be honest, I do too.
Who doesn't? Yeah.
It's adorable.
So they're going to do a reboot.
Is Ben Stiller going to be reprising his role?
Oh, gee, God. No, but Snoop Dogg will be, and he's actually going to be playing one. He's going to be Hutch.
Oh, that would be so awesome. True.
All right.
Lay it on me. Next question.
The Simpsons.
I wish I had a bell.
The Simpsons.
Oh, I think I know what you're going to say.
Mm-hmm. They have fired their longtime composer after 27 years.
I did know about that.
Sadly true.
WTF.
Yeah, I know, like, right. And the weird thing is, like, there's no story as to why. This guy's been with them for 20...
They want to take the music of The Simpsons in another direction?
He's been with them for 27 years. Like, this guy had a job, and the only comment we've got is, like, from him. He said he got a call from Simpsons producer Richard Sakai informing him his services would no longer be required. The show was looking for a different kind of music. I don't... Huh. What happened? I have to assume that... This is Alf Clausen, by the way, is his name.
How do you lose that job? No one loses that job.
I have to assume that there's some kind of huge sex scandal about to come out about Alf Clausen.
I know. Seriously. Right?
I feel like Alf Clausen would not be even talking about this then.
Yeah, I don't know.
Just
maybe
go quietly into the night.
Maybe it's a little finger. Maybe he doesn't know that he's about to be put on...
Yeah, it's possible. I don't know.
Spoiler alert. Sorry.
It's crazy. I don't know how you've been doing it for 27 years, and they're like, yeah, we don't need you anymore.
I think the only thing we can do is wildly speculate. So
yes,
we've done
I agree.
Sex scandal.
Yep.
I know. It's like this sort of thing only happens to college football coaches.
Yeah.
Maybe they're not doing music at all anymore.
Maybe it's all going to be...
They got that cat on a keyboard to take over.
Or they have 27 years worth of backlog of music.
And they figure they've got it all.
Like, maybe they...
We're probably good at this point.
They really like Stranger Things, and they were like, we're just going to go with synth now.
Yes. We just need the Duffer Brothers.
That, like, makes sense is, like, maybe there is no more music because the show is ending. Like, I don't...
That'd be a twist. Yeah. That'd be a spoiler. Maybe they're gonna do Dan Castellaneta's beat poetry as the backdrop of every episode now.
Jeez.
All right. I don't have any more fake stories in my head. I'm sorry. So that's it.
That's it.
Damn.
That was a fun game, though.
Yep.
Or was it? Okay, guys, we're going to start with The Tick, which dropped over on Amazon. Then we're going to hit up The Deuce and Game of Thrones over on HBO. But first up, The Tick. So we had reviewed this pilot months and months ago.
As I recall, I did not care for it.
Yeah, you didn't like it. It was a bit of a tone shift from the cartoon and I think a little bit the comic that you had loved.
Yeah.
And I was digging it. I was never familiar with the cartoon. But
really?
Whoa, you never...
No, I never really watched
it. That totally seems like in your wheelhouse.
Yeah, for
sure. Yeah. I've heard that. But yeah, I never watched it. And so I was only loosely familiar with like The Tick and he's got a roommate, Arthur. And I was pretty on board this take on it. And then, yeah, getting to watch this, I felt like it's only eight episodes?
Six episodes.
Six?
Six.
Well, but they're not done yet, are they?
No, there's a second. They're breaking into two seasons. So,
okay. See, I saw an episode list, and I thought that it was just going to that was going to be the first season.
No, it's a full season of 12 episodes, but for whatever reason, they released six.
Yeah. Huh.
So, Ashley, where were you on this?
I have not seen The Tick.
Really?
Oh. Yeah.
Not at all?
The cartoon?
I watched the cartoon sporadically when I was younger.
I would have thought that would have been right in your wheelhouse.
It is. It really
What's
is.
What's going on with these wheelhouses?
I know. It is right in my wheelhouse. Yeah. And in the episodes of the cartoon, that I liked it when I was younger. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Can we have a sidebar here for a second?
Yeah. Yeah.
What is a wheelhouse?
It's a house where you keep wheels and also things you love.
Oh, I picture something full of wheelbarrows. I don't know why.
That could be it, too.
Yeah, was it just like, oh, here's my house of wheels?
Maybe it's a place you keep cheese. You know, like keep cheese and wheels.
Okay, then I understand the love.
Right, a wheelhouse.
Wait a second. Wheelhouse makes me think of like glove compartment. Like maybe it's just where your spare tire goes.
Oh, yeah. And
so it's like
back in the 70s when I grew up, we used to call the steering wheel the wheelhouse, and that's where you used to, drive your sweet muscle cars down the street in black and white.
Back when you would... Park on the parkway and drive on the driveway.
Not like today.
Okay. Anyway, The Tick.
Back to The Tick.
Yeah. So it's six episodes here, and I love in the second episode back.
Yep.
Arthur runs into The Tick and goes, "Whoa! Did you just change your outfit?" And it's like, let's not talk about it. And they just move on, but they completely like fixed the outfit from that
great job
gaudy looking one they had in the first episode, which was like this weird like brain texture thing going on the outside of his outfit, and now it just looks like, straight up like how The Tick should look.
Yeah, I honestly think Peter Serafinowicz is the shining star of this show. I mean, he's perfect as The Tick, and that's having to live up to the perfect presentation of the cartoon and the perfect presentation of Patrick Warburton, who really was born to be The Tick. So he did a great job. Not so much everybody else.
You know what? I pause you real quick.
Disagree?
Well, I think there's a flaw with Patrick Warburton's Tick. I went back and watched some old episodes.
Uh-huh.
The thing is, I think he sounds so much like The Tick.
Uh-huh.
And like he has such a perfect voice for it.
He has a perfect voice for any cartoon.
That's true. That we kind of ignore that. Like something about The Tick is he's kind of dopey and he has this like smile to him. Like Patrick Warburton.
He was a little more laid back. You're right.
Yeah. And he, just kind of cool. like, what I love about, what's the actor's name who's doing them now?
Peter Serafinowicz.
Who, you know, Shaun of the Dead and Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like he is so good at those, like, the, like where he goes to Arthur's stepfather's house and answers the door.
Just man. The bromance between his stepfather and the Tick was one of my favorite moments of the whole series.
Perfect example of what I'm talking about.
But also, when in the first episode, when Arthur's telling him, he's like, no, there's a bunch of criminals. And he yells, neat. Like, that's the Tick. Yeah.
I dug it. I really liked the Arthur, the neurotic sidekick, and how he's fighting against this. I felt like maybe that went on a little bit too long, but
that was my issue.
I didn't mind too much because obviously that was kind of a lot of the pull of the story initially.
And yeah,
they didn't want to relinquish that to have him embrace it until it gets near the end.
I also feel like what the Arthur character does in this show is so essential for creating this universe where all these superheroes exist, and it's weird but also normal. Like, if you just go episode one and everybody's in suits, you know, you're going to be taken out of it. But they start the show with Arthur's story, and it really grounds you in this world. Like, you know, there's consequences, but there's also some kind of more weird stuff about, you know, being in a world with superheroes.
But all the superheroes are dumb.
Yeah.
Like, every single person that's a superhero is not the smartest person.
Except Superion.
Is he? He's an alien.
He seems to be a superhero type. I mean, he seems to be a straight-up Superman type.
Yeah, but he also seems like a guy who's, like, concerned with his marketing gimmick.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And so, in a way, he seems a little bit detached and a little bit aloof.
Yeah.
Like, I like that Arthur seems to bring a different flavor to the superhero world. That's part of why Tick seems gravitated toward him.
Yeah.
Because he does seem to be smart. His hold back is obviously his insane neuroses about everything.
I just felt like, and again, I can't help but compare it to the cartoon and the comics, where Arthur basically, he becomes a superhero because he started wearing his moth suit to his accounting firm because he didn't want to be a normal dude. And this is actually just a mirror of that. Instead of him wanting to be a superhero, he wants nothing more than to be a normal dude.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's dragged into every adventure, and I got tired of watching him resist. I'm like, how are you resisting? This looks awesome. What are you doing?
Well, I mean, I think that he slowly comes to embrace it, but
it's too slow for me.
Yeah, but it's only six episodes.
And yeah,
I don't know. I
will give you that about it being too, because I got to the last episode and I was like, you know, I am really starting to kind of buy into this, and this is where you could really wow me. And then I feel like that was kind of a poor point to just.
How many times does he lose the suit over the course of six episodes? It's like four times.
Yeah.
I definitely saw on social feeds this show getting rave reviews from friends on our network.
Yeah.
That I was like, I mean, I thought it was a fun show.
It's a fun show.
It's a short one, easy to digest. It was. It fell on a week where I didn't really have anything else to watch.
Yeah.
And I was gosh. Like, okay, good.
Somebody we know, I'm not going to say his name. If you know who I'm talking about, you can say it. He said that The Tick was better than Legion.
That's crazy talk.
That's
crazy talk.
It was Jordan Cobb. I know you're listening. I'm here, Jordan. You said it was better than Legion. I'm outing you.
I will say there were things I liked here. Adding Superion in, adding this like Superman type was an interesting call because there isn't anything like that in any of the other Ticks. And the guy who's in it is Brendan Hines, who was in The Middleman, which I just really, really liked. And they gave his sister Dot, Arthur's sister Dot, has generally been, she's the nag. She's the one who's always, you know, Tick, why are you living with this weird blue dude? Why don't you go be an accountant? Why don't you be a normal person?
Not Tick, Arthur.
And Arthur. And I thought that they did a better job of giving her more of an arc of her whole, she's working underground as a doctor for the bad guys and that kind of thing. I thought her whole story was better, and that was good to give her a little more to do. And I thought the vigilante dude, what's his name?
Oh, Overkill.
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 I enjoyed Overkill. There's a line that Arthur says where he's like, it seemed like he was trying to find a place to keep his knives. And I thought that was fantastic. And I love Danger Boat.
Danger Boat was
Danger Boat's the best. Alan Tudyk? I didn't know that until right now. Oh, that's so makes great. A lot of sense.
Yeah. Well, I love him like it's a boat. Ashley, that is sentient.
Yeah, became sentient.
And it's called, it calls itself Danger Boat.
Yep.
And our introduction to Danger Boat is that Danger Boat is making its own little hip hop mix.
Yes, talk, like rapping dubstep about,
yeah,
mix.
Danger Boat. Danger Boat.
Danger Boat.
And it has a passive aggressive relationship with its roommate slash partner Overkill, which I loved.
Who lives on him.
Yeah. There's some fun stuff there. I thought all the bad guys were kind of weak, unfortunately. Even Jackie O'Haley's Terror, I thought, was kind of weak.
I was about to say the exact opposite, that my favorite thing about this was all the villains.
Really? Okay.
Especially Jackie Warshak, whatever his name is.
Yeah, he played Warshak, and he's the terror here.
I love the terror.
Really?
Yeah, like how he's just like the scene where they got him scaring Arthur as a little kid.
Yeah.
I love that scene.
It's interesting, and there's a moment with him and his sort of protege, Miss Lint.
Lint, yeah.
Where he goes up to her and says, he says the line like, you don't kill people for revenge, you kill people because it's fun. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was, I mean, it got to the point, this is a guy who gleefully glories in being evil. And it's the kind of thing when only working a cartoonist show like this. But I don't know, I just feel like they didn't give him enough to do, or...
Well, I'm kind of hoping that the place they go with that character is they make him senile. Or they kind of play off like being a supervillain, but also being super old.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like that's what was kind of fun about all those villains in the comics.
Yeah.
Is because they were like dealing with, you know, problems of being, you know, middle aged or being elderly.
Okay.
Just kind of weird.
Yeah.
I enjoyed them.
I thought they were.
I enjoyed the show, but I definitely didn't love it as much as everybody else seemed to love it. I definitely liked it better than I did the pilot. Like, once I went back and watched the pilot and I saw the whole thing that everyone was talking about, the Mr. Robot and the Fight Club of it all. And I love we've got the point with Fight Club that now the subversive thing to do is to not do it.
Yeah.
I love it. The kazoo, Where Is My Mind? I was rolling my eyes. I'm like, are you guys really doing this right now? Mr. Robot already did this. Like, what are you doing? And then the reveal was that it was not the case. And yeah. I was like, okay, well done. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was able to watch straight through it. I was eager to watch each next episode. And I'm looking forward to another season. And
I'll watch more.
So yeah. I feel like that's a good mark for me.
Yeah, I'll watch more.
The Deuce dropped.
HBO dropped the Deuce.
HBO dropped the Deuce early over on HBO. And this is David Simon's new show, which is taking a look at 1971 Times Square when it was seedy and skeevy and there
full
were
whores.
There were ladies of the night walking up and down the street and pimps. And,
pimps and hoes.
And hoes and such. And this was an hour and a half episode.
Hour and a half. It's also, by the way, it's David Simon and George Pelicanos who wrote most of the brutal episodes of The Wire. Like whenever something bad would happen, George Pelicanos, crime novelist, was the guy who wrote that episode. Wow. And they're actively collaborating here. And it's produced, she's involved in it, and she also directs the first episode by Michelle McLaren from Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
And I was not at all that set expectations pretty high, and I was not at all disappointed. I was so happy with this pilot. I know you felt it was a little long, Grant.
I did. I think David Simon has a way of setting up a sprawling universe. I mean, I think when you have a monster ensemble anyway, when you have to establish where every character is before you can kind of start setting things in motion, you need at least an episode to do that.
He sets up a long landing strip.
Yeah, The Wire is notable because it took at least four.
I see what you did there.
the Wire took like four episodes, I think, before it really kind of starts hitting its groove.
Yeah.
And similarly here, an hour and a half, I felt just kind of it went a little slow.
Ashley, Kyle, what do you guys think?
I loved it.
Yeah?
Yeah. The only thing I didn't like about it was that James Franco plays two characters.
That was weird, right?
That is a weird, like, James Franco as.
Is that a thing that people are doing? Like, they did that with Ewan McGregor, too. He played his brothers, and it worked well in Fargo, but
it seems unnecessary.
But why? Why do it?
Why not get his actual brother to Dave play Franco. His brother?
James or Franco. Just, like
– because like it's Dave Franco.
All right, yeah, there's that.
How about just, like, any other actor?
Yeah, it was a weird call, and I agree. It's not that they're not – he's good. He's good in both roles.
Yeah, but, he did a great job.
But I spent the first, like, 30 minutes thinking, is this a dodge? Is he not actually brothers? Is he just bullshitting this guy so he doesn't have to get called?
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure – even though they set it up, they gave you that visual thing. The reason he gets mugged in the first episode, this is another cheat they do all the time. He gets mugged in the very opening bits of the episode because he's got that mark on his head, so you can tell when it's him and when it's his brother. It's a quick visual distinction.
That's right.
Or they can make one bald like they did in Fargo. Yes. A lot easier.
Yeah, it's a lot easier.
Or they could just cast a different actor.
And that's what they should have. I mean, like I say, I think it worked out, but I am puzzled by the decision. Like, what was it? Was it the only way James Franco would do TV? Was he like, I'm not going back to TV unless I can pay my twin brother? And like, okay. I mean, I can see that. What we know of James Franco,
For two roles.
I can totally see that is his requirement. It's a weird contract writer like the Green M&Ms. I only do TV if I can play my own brother.
Maybe it was like one of those evil twin things, and they were like, you can play a twin.
Yes,
a twin.
What if? Oh yeah, he pitched evil twins and like,
yeah, exactly.
They're like, look, we can't. We're not doing it.
No, we're not doing that.
Is it possible that James Franco is in fact two people, and you have to hire both of them?
I think that would make sense because sometimes James Franco will do something like hit on 15-year-olds, and I'm like, James Franco.
But what
and
if that's evil James Franco?
He does something. That's what I mean. And other times, it's like James Franco.
Yeah, I think it's possible that we've discovered there's a two James Franco theory.
Interesting.
Okay. Kyle, what did you think?
That concludes our review, guys.
Of the show and of the new two Francos theory.
My mind is blown by the James's Franco.
I can verify that, and it's unfortunate because Grant did a wonderful job on this paint.
So the deuce, that the 1-2. For starters, I totally thought, well, I feel like the show is going in a direction that you don't really get from this first episode.
That's what Graham was saying off mic earlier, was that
looks like it's going to be a show about the beginning of the porn industry.
Well, that's what it says in like the write-up, right?
It is. But, that is what it's about. But
you don't get a sense of that in this first episode.
Yeah, like you don't even see, like I kept asking myself the whole time, like, who has the video camera?
Where's that's Dirty how it Randy? Starts,
right?
Yeah. We need Dirty Randy to show up.
When are they going to get to the fireworks factory? but no, I can see where they're going because you've got James Franco the first getting this idea of, oh, put the girls in skimpy costumes and we make more money. So he's like the entrepreneur who tries to figure out how to sell sex. And then you've got this sort of self-empowered woman, Maggie Gyllenhaal's character, who's like, she's a sex worker, but she's also trying to find a way to sort of make that work for her. She doesn't have a pimp. And so the notion of those two meeting and deciding to find a new way to sell sex, I can see where that leads to the porn industry. I can see the strings, but you're right. There's no overt implication of it in this first episode.
Well, and you know what I think the problem is? I find the story about the pimps more interesting than a porn story.
The pimps are colorful as hell. I mean,
yeah. Like, I don't know. It just seems like, because any other time I feel like prostitution is depicted on TV, even in Game of Thrones, it just seems dirty, you know?
Yeah.
Like, dude, this is the first time where it's like, oh, no, they got a business, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like selling meth or, you know, any other type of true crime type thing. And it's interesting seeing how their business is run, like watching the pimp who's like, now you guys got to do one more, like one more before we call it a night.
I read that the intent by David Simon with this show was that even when you show sex, you'd never want it to actually be sexy.
Yeah.
You want it to be real and raw, and you want to see kind of the truth behind what's going on in each scene.
It was that. The dude getting the blowjob in the phone booth, who just, like, he walks by, like, Franco walks by and says hi to the girl, and she just stops. Like, it's just every day and just kind of gross and there.
A friend of ours was talking about this and said, you see a boner there on screen. How much you want to bet that was a prosthetic?
Yeah, probably.
Like, you can't actually have, even when you're filming a boner, it's got to be a fake one. It's kind of weird.
Unless you have a porn actor, because that's what they do.
Yeah.
They have Boners on Command.
Yes.
And actually, Boners on Command 3 and Boners on Command 4 and Boners on Command 7. I'm pretty sure that's a film series. Don't Google it.
Boner on Command.
Boners on Command. It's probably like a G.I. Joe parody. by the way, is this show called The Deuce because it is a nod to there being two James Francos?
I mean, I didn't think that until Kyle said and then I was like, oh, okay, The Deuce, there's two of them.
We figured it out. David Simon, you can just call us and tell us we got it right. We'll shut up about it if you just admit it.
I mean, what else would it be?
It's well, maybe a gambling thing.
I still have one like of my questions left.
Because in the logo, they've got...
your TV-related question they have to answer truthfully is, are there two James Francos?
Is that why it's called the Deuce? It's because there are two James Francos?
See, you were wise to save a question. I wasted mine.
Yeah, well, you know, story of our lives.
But I really love this. We haven't talked much about Maggie Gyllenhaal. I thought she was great here. I've always loved her, and I thought she did a great job here.
Yeah, she's great in everything she does.
Yeah.
Unlike her brother, who does Okja and acts like a fucking clown.
Yeah, he's like the dude you invite over to your house, and then he cries. I'm 35. I don't need that shit.
I only did that twice. I get it. I'm not invited
I
anymore.
Gave you one. I said you could have one.
I thought this was the strongest pilot that Simon's done because I liked The Wire, but it took me several go-throughs to give it a shot. And I love Treme, but Treme's a really slow, like deliberately slow pilot and show. And I feel like this had more plot and more sort of character development very quickly. Like he'd introduced 100 characters. There were maybe only like a dozen.
I mean, there's spectacle to getting to see 1971 New York. When they walk down the street, it's still amazing, just like jaw-dropping, watching how they've constructed these entire sets to really look like it, how they've composited CGI obviously over, current Newton Times Square. I don't even know how they're doing all
that. Did you watch the post-credits?
No.
They talked about it. McLaren talked about it. And
it looks incredible.
They built that.
That's all.
They built it, and the deal is like they built the lights they built a full movie facade. And then they sort of did a trickery so it looks like the movie facade, like the movies go on forever. But yeah, I got the impression they've actually built a set.
Yeah, wow. It sounded like they have one like hero board where it's like the one that you see, the marquee. And then they have just like a light box so when you get shots of them underneath it, those that look like they're in the distance, those are just light boxes back there that are blurred.
And by the way, all the movies that are on the marquees are movies that were in the theater at this time. They're fanatical about that kind of thing.
Of course.
So, and that's the thing.
Do you hire that one person who's OCD about it?
Yeah, that's one thing I really do like, that it feels like the grimy 70s. You know, they get that period done really well. And then you put in a bunch of characters. That opening with the they talked about this too at the post credits is that Pelicanos writes the sort of the story and the general vibe, and then David Simon goes in and adds little elements, or maybe I flipped that into the other way around. But basically the pimps talking at the beginning, like where they're checking out the girls, that was in the original script. But then whichever one of them polished, and I think it was David Simon who had sort of the reality touches, he's the one who had the pimp talking about Nixon and how he, you know, and what he does. And that adds such a layer because you get these guys who are in this world and you see that they're talking about like politics and how they relate it to the game and that kind of thing. And I love that little element. That's one of the things The Wire did so well, is that we never felt like we were just watching just gangsters. Like we were watching people who were in this criminal lifestyle.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say that opening scene of them talking about that, and then later where they're at the shoe shine spot and the cop rolls in.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's there like with the one white cop is about to start hassling him and he's like, dude, just shut up or whatever. And he like sits down and he like talks to them a little bit. Those two are my favorite scenes. They were really good.
I also really liked the new girl who comes in from out of town and they sort of sell it as one thing. They sell it as, oh, it's this girl's get taken advantage of. And then very quickly you figured out she came here for this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, you don't even need the rest of the sales. You don't even need the rest of the sales pitch, do you?
Oh, what'd she say? She goes, pimps work for me. I get lazy otherwise.
Yeah. That was great.
Like, she's going through the clothes in the back, whatever. She's like, and she's from Minnesota or something. Yep. She's like, I may be from Minnesota, but I wouldn't be caught dead in any of this.
This is the actress is Margarita Laviva, born in the Soviet Union. And I'm trying to see. Oh, she's on The Blacklist of all things.
Okay. I know I've seen her in stuff before.
I didn't remember her from anywhere, but she's really good.
She looks kind of like Gilly from Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I can see that.
Is she she's the other girl, right? She's the student, the NYU student.
Is that the
Margarita Lavia? Abby.
You're right. She's the I completely forgot that plot line.
Yeah.
I had totally forgotten that plot line existed.
Yeah.
But I liked it.
Yeah, it was great.
I actually love the way that goes with the cop, where he's clearly like, he's done her a favor, he's going to take her home, and that is not the way that goes, and he's not happy about it, but there's nothing he can do about it.
Yeah, I also, like, it's so well done. Like, what does she ask him? Have you read Camus? Like, of course, because she's some fucking 19-year-old.
Is it Emily Mead? No, that's not her. I'm looking for the actress who plays the
It's Emily Mead.
Is it Emily Mead?
Yeah, okay. Lori.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I don't know where I know her from, but she's really good. I like the bit where she goes up to talk to to Gyllenhaal's character and the other prostitute and sort of get the lay of the land.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and she's giving cigarettes to all of them. Yes, so that's why they're talking to her.
Yeah.
Maybe the leftovers. What was she in the leftovers?
Oh, I don't know. She was Amy.
Oh, Amy!
Of course!
Come on, Grant. You know who everybody is in the leftovers, right?
So, are we going to give this another shot, or you think we're just done with The Deuce and David Simon?
I am 100% in love with the show right now. It's going to be my favorite show for a while.
100%?
Yeah. I am.
After one episode?
Look, I'm a mark for David Simon. I didn't love The Wire as much as Greg did, because no one loves The Wire as much as Greg did.
You're not allowed to.
I love Treme all through.
I mean, this goes in my Boardwalk Empire box of... It's interesting. I think they're set up for what could be a bigger vision.
But it doesn't grab you. It's not like I've got to watch this every Sunday Night Live kind of thing.
I mean, I'm always a little bit wishy-washy about period pieces anyway.
Oh, man.
I love period pieces. I'm so excited.
Yeah, 70s crime and hookers, I'm in.
I'm sticking with it, too. You'll see me there next week. It
reminds you of your childhood, Randy.
Yeah, it does. But it's in color, which I feel is inaccurate.
I don't know how to make fun of Randy Fiegel.
We're just going to rename to Randy's old.
I don't know how that started.
Look,
I think it's something shitty that I said. I'm sorry.
It's a legit thing, and I'm okay with it.
I'm old.
I'm the oldest person in this room.
No, he made some reference to like the Piggly Wiggly or some shit. some show that no one else was like, familiar. Oh, it was Pinwheels or Square Pegs.
I love Square Pegs because this is supposed to be a fucking TV podcast.
Square Pegs.
And nobody knows Square Pegs.
Is that a story about a couple and the husband's always threatening to smack her to the moon or something?
No.
Is that?
No, that's Mad About You.
And she asks for like a new vacuum for Christmas or something.
Oh, no, that's I Love Lucy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was very abusive.
All right, guys. Game of Thrones just wrapped up its 7th and penultimate season, and we got some shit going down here.
Oh. We had a question about this.
Oh, we did.
Randy.
Boom.
Old man for the save.
USA. USA.
We did it, America. All right,
they say the memory's the first thing to go, but it's clearly not gone yet.
Anyway, we're going to skip the question, but good job remembering that. Our question comes to us from Jacob Elsner, who says, spoilers ahead. Do not read if you have not watched the season 7 finale. He also wrote it in that voice.
Yeah, and he said, do spirit fingers, which you did.
Yeah. Now that Game of Thrones has ended with no new episodes in sight for quite some time, what are your boldest predictions for the final season of the show? And what would you wager? For example...
I feel like that was the right voice, though. What would you wager? That's right up there.
The Night King planned a whole death of Viserion so that he could take down the Wall. Therefore, he has relatively the same powers of foresight the Three-Eyed Raven holds. My wager? My left nut.
That's a bold thing on which to wager your left nut. Like find a better bet. But yeah. I think he's right. I'm not betting my left nut.
I have a point of clarification. Point of clarification.
Okay.
Related to the coming down of said wall.
Okay.
Yeah.
So my understanding is that the wall was both a physical barrier, but also a magical barrier, which is one of the reasons that Benjen Stark could not come south of it again once he was half walker. And it's one of the reasons why.
But you know why the curse is taken off of it, right?
No.
Because Bran Stark. Touched one of the whites, and
then touched him in the vision.
And then they were able to enter into the little Children of the Forest's tree and burn it down. And so, Bran Stark is now breaker of the magic.
So when he passed through the wall,
okay,
he
that
broke
was
the
what.
Enchant.
Okay,
when he,
yeah,
that's
by
what
him
was...
passing the wall.
But here's the thing,
broke
guys.
That as well.
This is all only fan speculation. They have not said any of this on the show.
Yeah, but I think that requires a little bit more of a deeper dive that the books like to do, and not necessarily that the show even bothers with.
Isn't there some kind of horn?
Oh yeah, some like magical horn.
I don't know. People keep saying this.
What about these eagles? Why didn't they just like ride?
Yeah,
the
why didn't
eagles
they ride the
Mordor?
Eagles? What the hell?
The fucking eagles ride the eagles of Mordor.
And I mean the band.
We're done.
I mean the band, the Eagles. They rode. They put a saddle on Don Henley, Hodored him up, and rode him through the wall.
It is too early for you to be talking about the fucking Eagles.
See, you know who the Eagles are.
I know. Here we go.
You damn young.
If we want to know more about the Eagles, should we consult our school library?
Why don't you just go to the microfiche section and look it up?
It'll be filed right next to Grand Funk Railroad, and not because it's alphabetical, but because those are the only two microfiche they have.
All right, Game of Thrones, guys. Rein it back in. So, what do you guys think as far as predictions for this?
I got a big prediction that I think I'm pretty right about.
Okay.
Wait, first, what are you willing to wager?
Who's left nut?
Do you guys think that we should talk about the episode first and then at the end we should talk about
it? Yeah, we should come back to this question at the end.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. We're not going to remember this time.
We'll remember. Hive mind.
I loved everything about this episode.
Did you? I thought you'd have some gripes.
I've bitched about every other episode, yes, but I liked how everything played out here, even if it was a little bit fan servicey, because I think that ultimately it just like was a great end note for the season, and it also it kind of set up what we can expect for the next one.
That's interesting. I'm glad to hear that, because I was afraid you were going to be down on this one.
No, this is like one of the first ones where I was like, you know, I actually liked how all that played out. What I'm grumpy about, especially with the Sansa Arya plotline, uh-huh, is how, I mean, they were just kind of fucking with us, the writers.
Actually, can I?
Yeah, jump in.
So I feel like I have read the perfect explanation about this. So apparently there was a cut scene where Sansa goes to Bran and is essentially like, all right, give me some information. But when you have that scene in there, it makes sense why they cut it, because then you get that great moment where Arya's standing there and you're like, oh, Sansa's about to do something stupid.
Yeah.
And then she's like, Lord Baelish.
Yeah. So like, you feel like it was a deliberate misdirect.
I feel like that misdirect, that moment, wouldn't have worked had they left that scene in, or even put any other scenes in there where they're like, oh, yeah, let's get him.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I just find that there's right something too about playing with expectations, like overall with an audience.
You thought they weren't
versus, we've now set up that these characters are that the Starks constantly fuck up.
Yeah.
So now we can play off of that to just fuck with our audience rather than like playing with narrative structure to give us different expectations. They're specifically playing on tropes of their own show.
I get what you're saying. It did not bother me, but I get what you're saying.
They're taking our characters and making them play dumb for us. Yeah. And that's weird to me.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I think what you're getting at is it's one thing to like kind of play with it a little bit, but it's another thing to be like, just kidding, it was all a dream.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was okay with it, but I was talking about it. And it did a little bit. I was kind of like, eh, but
I loved that moment so much. And I love seeing Littlefinger get his comeuppance, especially at Arya's hands.
Oh, and how quick it was.
Without batting an eye.
Yeah, she just fucking stabs him. And that's so great.
Well, I love you got this giant room full of men with like suits of armor and swords. And it's like last season they had this little girl who was all telling them they weren't worth shit. And now they got this other little girl who's just slicing dude's throat in front of them.
Yeah. I think my takeaway from this is interesting as a person who really hates spoilers on Game of Thrones, is that this was an impossible episode to spoil because I knew almost everything was going to happen.
Yeah.
And yet it was still so satisfying to watch it happen. Yeah. Like, yeah. I knew everything that was going to happen before it happened, except for the Littlefinger thing that I was pretty sure was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And at no point did I feel spoiled by knowing what was coming.
I was pleased so I've had very few gripes with the shows overall.
Mm-hmm.
But one of my main gripes has been Jaime's story arc.
Yeah.
I didn't like the deviation from the book at all.
Okay.
Like, Jaime turns on Cersei, not turns on her, but turns away from Cersei early on.
Yeah.
And never goes back.
Right.
And so the choices that they made with his character I found very strange.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't like it because we had already like gone from seeing him as like this cold-blooded killer, true villain, to
right.
this redemption story. So then to have him go back.
To roll back in the redemption,
annoyed me. So I was super pleased that they finally, in my mind, corrected that in this episode where he's like, all right, last straw. I'm fucking out of here.
The tensest moment for me in this episode, and I don't know why, because I don't feel like anybody's in real danger right now, but when Tyrion goes to talk to Cersei.
Yeah, he was in real danger.
I really thought they might kill him. I didn't really think they'd do it. But then when she had the mountain, like she was going to threaten, I'm like, you know, I don't think Cersei is not going to kill Tyrion. And to find out that Cersei does, for all her venom, can't bring herself to kill either one of her brothers.
You think it was?
Oh, that's right. She was playing him.
Yeah. The only reason she didn't play Tyrion is because she was playing the bigger game. I think she wanted to kill him.
Yeah.
And I don't think she would normally hesitate, except that her touching her belly, she ain't pregnant.
Yeah, no, she's not pregnant. That's
I don't think she's pregnant.
Yeah.
I think she's trying to play Jaime. She's trying to play Tyrion. It worked with Tyrion.
And she's trying to play Daenerys.
Yeah.
Like at this moment, I think she realizes that one thing that Jaime is correct.
Yeah.
And that they could blow over King's Landing tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I don't think that Cersei buys that Dany wouldn't do that. Because of all the innocent people who would die.
Right.
So, yeah, I actually agree with you. I think that she would kill Tyrion. She just couldn't. Yeah.
You're right. That makes sense. Because I'd forgotten that, she was basically playing him.
She hates Tyrion. Jaime loves Tyrion.
By the way, for Cersei to outplay Tyrion is pretty impressive.
Yeah, but, like, that's the dumbing down of Tyrion this whole season has kind of frustrating. He's not a strategist at all with his war planning. Like,
well, he's not a general.
Like, Cersei destroyed him tactically at all those stages, and those were kind of him making calls. Well,
but you know what? I think he hasn't been drinking as much.
That's true.
Oh my god, he lost his powers.
Yeah,
he does drink before he talks to Cersei.
He doesn't
but
drink, and he doesn't know things anymore.
He needs to get back on that wagon.
Off the wagon?
He needs to fall.
But there's
that
wagon in the third season where it was drunken.
Yeah, he needs to get back on the drunken wagon.
Back on that drunken wagon.
And fall off the wagon metaphorically.
Yes.
But not physically.
I was actually okay with Tyrion's tactical failures as a general because he's never been a general. He knows a lot about military history, but it was at least – they didn't go into it as much in the show, but at least in the books, Tywin chastises him for not making the correct call when it comes to these sorts of things, partly because he's a moral character.
Right.
But I also like it because Jaime is a general.
Yeah.
And so you need to give the other side something – more to make it interesting.
Yeah. Tyrion did have the command of Blackwater Bay. Like he was someone who helped.
He was a commander, right? So he was sent out into the field by Tywin.
But he's not a tactician.
But he's not a general.
Yeah.
And he does know a lot about military history.
Yeah.
He's helpful and he gives advice.
Yeah.
But he even says that. He's like, I'm the hand, right?
Yeah.
That's a very different thing. Daenerys doesn't have a general. And that's been what she's been missing.
I loved all the moment. Like this was the season of paying everything off. Like all those little moments when Jaime and Tyrion got to see each other again, and then we see
Brienne and the Hound,
yeah.
Podrick and Tyrion.
Aww.
I mean, Podrick and Bronn.
Podrick and Bronn.
Like, let's go get a drink.
Yeah.
I felt a little bit, I was like, I hope Podrick's going to be okay.
Oh, Podrick's going to get laid.
I know, but like, I don't know, Bronn
you can
still
suck
be
his
a
magic
character.
Cock later.
I loved all those little moments. I loved everybody getting these moments. I mean, Brienne exchanged a meaningful glance with Jaime. There's all these little, and then the Mountain and the Hound moment. I mean, they went there, and then Euron Greyjoy and Theon. I mean, there's all these moments.
Like part of the episode, like that I was about to, I was when I was first watching, I was like, that's not a good scene, and I don't know what that's doing in this episode. Was when Euron.
Urine.
When he steps up and just like starts acting like a pissy asshole, like right away.
But that's exactly what he would do.
But it ended up being part of a fake out of him like playing up that he's this swaggery dude who's not even going to listen to Cersei. He's going to act out on his own.
Right.
And so him leaving, it all just kind of like makes sense with the role he's playing there.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, okay. I'm much more comfortable with that. My favorite scene in this episode is my wife's least favorite scene. She's absolutely angry with it. But the very end, when Jon Snow goes and hooks up with Daenerys on the boat.
Yep.
I think that was a lot of people's favorite scene.
It was my favorite because of the narration going over top of it.
Oh, it's so good.
Bran's just like, and he's going to fuck his aunt. Hey, but he's going to fuck his aunt. She's his aunt, and he's going to fuck her. Watch him fuck her. There he goes. Fucking her aunt. I mean, that's not what he was saying, but that's all I kept saying in my mind. He's going to fuck his aunt.
Yeah, I don't remember where I saw this show, but someone was talking about how George R. R. Martin, we're not sure how he feels about a lot of things, but he definitely feels as strongly about incest. He's got very strong opinions.
Well, I mean, this makes like, it makes sense for the Targaryen line.
Yeah.
For a lot of like what he set up in the very beginning,
yeah,
that it would kind of dovetail into this.
Well, also that's I mean, Game of Thrones is based on, to some extent, the War of the Roses. Isn't that true? That it was like based on the medieval history and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And the inbreeding and the and that kind of thing was much more prominent at that point.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's not in his other books. Yeah. So I've read Fever Dream, which is a historical – it's vampires.
Yeah.
Historical drama or historical fiction that takes place in the Mississippi during the high time of steamboats.
Coming soon to HBO, probably.
Coming soon to HBO. dude, scary vampires, not sparkly. It's awesome. Like, yeah, I really liked it. But there's nobody's cousins are fucking in that.
Are there vampires that have a lot of sex? Because they already did that.
Nope.
They've done that show.
No, nope, okay, not okay. at all. All right, nope. Good. They're kind of like wolf. They're a different species.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Dying of the Light. I read that one, which is a sci-fi. There's no
incest.
No incest. Okay. In
so I think that one they're adapting to TV too.
Yeah, everything. Yeah, for sure.
yeah, but just the juxtaposition. Yeah, it was so such a good payoff. And this season didn't have like all the. Like, what's his name? The actor, Ian McShane says.
Yeah.
Tits and Dragons show.
Tits and Dragons show.
Didn't have a lot of the tits.
Yep.
It didn't have a lot of nudity for nudity's sake, like they've done in the past. And the one sex scene that they do have, they taint it with the whole incest talk. And yet, some people are like, it's that whole, like, how far we've come since the first season.
Yeah.
Incest, icky. Incest, but it's those two. I'm okay with it.
Well, just to give you some reference, there was one of the former Targaryen kings. He actually married both of his sisters, and they were, like, the legitimate queens. So it was a guy and his two sisters. He was the king, and they were his
I like queens. How you're laying that out like it's scandalous, like it's news. Like, not like it happened in this fiction. Like, did you guys hear about this king who married his two sisters? That shit is wild.
I read this amazing article in The Onion. You guys won't believe what happened.
I saw it on Twitter.
Go back to the lore, guys. Go make it for me.
I liked the lore.
So, Randy, you were dead on about the dragon.
Yeah.
Last week.
It had to be fire because it had to bring down the wall.
Yeah, but it was blue fire.
It was blue fire.
And I was reading people like, but what is the blue fire? Is it like they were like,
dude, it's magic. Come on.
Is it? Or is it just like super hot blue flame?
Well, that's the thing.
Flame can be blue.
It can't be flame because flame kills White Walker. So it has to be different than flame because if the dragon could do flame, then it would just burn himself up.
That's true.
But it's got to be heat.
It is
melted snow.
It's magic fire. It's witch
lasers.
Fire. Dragon fire. Laser fire.
Dragon lasers.
Plasma blasters.
Ooh, plasma. It could be plasma.
I feel like
something.
That involves the butt.
Maybe actually, Plasma Blaster 7 is you can find that. It's on the marquee in the Deuce.
Plasma Blasters 7 : it involves the butt.
It involves the butt.
Randy, you know so much about porn.
I swear I'm making it up. Please don't Google this because it's probably all true. But I swear I'm making all this up.
So I learned that back in the 70s, there was a lot of porn on VHS. And people used to buy them in stores. And I think that's why he knows these titles.
Yeah, yeah. I used to browse the selections in black and white. I was about 6, so it was appropriate.
Oh, so this is back in the 30s.
Back in the 30s. Oh, wow. Wow, she's doubling down on the age jokes. You're a apologies.
I know, what is wrong with me?
I do not believe your apologies.
They're worth nothing.
So I saw some people griping that they thought this opened kind of slow, all the stuff with all the people arriving and the big diplomatic scene. And I was like, you're crazy. That was fantastic.
That's all the fun meat.
Super tense because of all the relationships between the characters. Like they were all there. These are people who, if you put them in a room, are just as likely to stab each other.
See, that's what I like. Like, I like when there's a planned meeting that a bunch of people show up to because it was coordinated. All the coincidences earlier in the season where, Melisandre just happened to drop by while Jon Snow's like walking in the door and she's got to sneak out the back and everyone's just like swinging by Dragonstone at the exact same time. And Varys just popped on in too. Hey guys, no bullshit to that. But a coordinated, we have a set meeting. It's going to be on this day. Everyone show up. I'm game for that. And that, all this episode worked for me.
You know my favorite thing about that meeting though? Cersei makes everyone wait so that she can show up and make her appearance. So she shows up. And then Danny trumps her appearance. Danny flying in on the dragon was fantastic.
And then her response, you're late. Not like, holy shit, there's a dragon.
Yeah.
You're late.
Yep. By the way, why does Danny bring both dragons? Because Cersei's right. She gives away that a third dragon is gone.
For the plot point of
Yeah.
Cersei being able to
Or is Dany smarter than we think?
She's not.
No, she's not. She's not necessarily smarter.
Nope.
We all agree on that point.
Yeah. Dedicated, though.
Dedicated, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, she, like, got the participation trophy.
Yeah.
For sure.
She's good for her.
So we got one more important question here, guys.
Yeah.
Is Tormund alive?
I think he is, and I think it's kind of a cheat. I don't want Tormund to die, but come on, man. You're going to survive that?
He ought to be dead.
I think he ran up the wall. I think he ran, like, away from the ocean, like, down the wall.
I'm going to say he's either dead or now I don't think they're going to kill off anybody who matters. It's all red shirts.
That's the thing. But the thing is, if he's dead, you had to show him dying. Like, you can't show him.
I think he's just going to come back as a White Walker, and we're going to be like, no!
Stop!
No!
Oh, man, that would be good.
I would be, so, like, and then Bran's going to have to kill him.
Like, totally being right.
I think you're totally wrong. Happen. What would you bet on that prediction?
I would bet Kyle's left nut.
Fair.
No.
Kyle, if she's wrong, we take your left nut.
To be honest, dude. I had one more question to bet, but I need it.
But that does bring us back to the question.
Yes. What are our wagers? What do we think's going to happen?
The other question he has is, do we think anyone's going to die?
Boldest predictions. Yeah.
I don't like to predict. I like to just kind of sit back and let it happen to me.
Cop out.
I love predicting stuff.
Do it. Predictions.
Peter Parker, Spider-Man. No, it's not a prediction. I predicted it.
Spoilers.
That's a spoiler.
No. I feel pretty certain. It's poetic. I think it's going to happen. I think Cersei's going to die, and it's going to be Jaime that kills Cersei in the end.
That's a reasonable prediction. I can see that.
Actually, I can see that as well.
I was thinking that something was going to happen, maybe even in this episode, where she went all Mad King. Like, there's a scene at the beginning of this episode which seems out of place. Maybe it'll come back in next season. But Bronn is instructing all these guys to, like, get 50 more barrels of pitch.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, Cersei's going to try to burn everybody again.
Yeah.
And then maybe Jaime will have that moment like he did with the Mad King where he's like, oh, I got to take her out.
I forgot that scene until you mentioned it. Because I couldn't figure out if they were actually at King's Landing. Because it looked like they were preparing for a siege, and I'm like, wait a minute, are they back somewhere else? Is this back at wherever the Lannister house is?
Casterly Rock.
Yeah. I mean, I was like, is this a flashback to the Casterly Rock invasion? Like, I couldn't figure out where they were, and I thought that was kind of an out of place scene.
Yeah,
I have a feeling that scene's going to be in like one of the previously on of next season.
Yeah,
and it's going to be related to something they do then.
I got a bold prediction for you guys.
Yeah,
the Mountain is going to kill the Hound. Andy's going to kill Brienne, and Arya's going to kill the Mountain.
Oh, man, that's messed up.
Like, it's going to be like, the Hound is, like, going to battle his brother, and you're like, oh, it's an even match. But no, the Mountain's going to kill him.
Crush him.
And then Brienne's going to step in, you're like, oh, she's going to avenge, and she's going to also die.
Oh,
man. It's
going
to be like, shit, we can't have that. But then Arya's going to come in all super tiny against the Mountain, and it's going to be that contrast.
And he's on her list.
David and Goliath, and she's going to just fucking eviscerate him.
He's on our list.
And everyone's going to be like, yay, blood and gore.
That's a pretty good prediction. You willing to bet Kyle's right nut on that?
I mean, you don't need either of them.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep.
They just get in the way.
I'm trying to figure out, like, he asked about the wolf. Do we think we're going to see it? The direwolves have kind of faded. Are we going to see any of them back?
Yeah, they couldn't afford ghosts this year.
You know who I think they're referring to? Are you talking about the whole...
The direwolves.
Oh, Nightmare just direwolves in general? Well, apparently that was another scene they cut, that they actually shot when Jon leaves Winterfell at the beginning of the season. They shot him saying goodbye to Ghost.
Oh, weird.
They just cut it because for time.
Huh.
I'm curious what you guys think about the Golden Company.
So, yeah.
Dany has several armies.
Mm-hmm.
They are devoted and strong, and some of them are sociopaths.
Yes.
Because of lifelong tortures. She's bet everything on urine and on urine and the Golden Company.
That makes sense, urine and the Golden Company.
Yeah, it really does. It works. So of cell swords, my understanding is that they're pretty solid, but she's fucked.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Like, they're going to show up, and when they see this, Like, they don't have the best track record.
Yeah. Well, there's only six episodes. So I feel like they've got to spend one episode with Cersei's forces getting annihilated and then just focus on the actual White Walker problem.
Well, as any of them, if any of the Golden Company see what they're up against, if they see a White Walker, like, fuck this, we're they're out. Gone.
Yeah.
They are gone.
Yeah. Well, and say they see the Sea of Dothraki, they're gone.
They're gone. Yeah, for sure.
Well, somebody else pointed out, you have six seasons next episode.
And this six episodes.
Yeah. Or six episodes. There's a good chance that the Night King will be defeated, if he's going to be defeated, not in the last episode, in maybe even like halfway through the season.
Yeah. I don't know what the next season looks like. I really – six episodes, I don't know what it looks like. Yeah.
It seems like – okay, I get logically why they'd have to have the wall come down now, but six episodes with how these episodes play out, even if they're going to be an hour and a half, I don't understand why they're doing that except for budgetary concerns.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, Game of Thrones, you can fucking afford the budget for 10 more episodes in order to pace this out.
I disagree. I and maybe this is because we have so much TV to watch, but I love a good short season. And I know every episode is going to be long. I would rather have six like movies than 10
Sherlock style
shorter episodes. Yeah, I'm all about, and they're all probably going to be longer episodes. So I am all about the shorter final season. I am all in for that.
Mm, maybe. I mean, I just feel like how you chunk out the narrative in TV.
Yeah.
I want a little bit more for how much ground they need to cover here because they still have such a huge cast. Unless they're going to really start killing people off this next season.
Yeah.
We only got like a couple deaths this season.
That's true. Notable ones.
Yeah. But Elena. I mean, Elena's tertiary.
Yeah. But Littlefinger was big.
Littlefinger.
I've been waiting for that death for a while.
Yeah.
But here's my other question, prediction wise. Do you guys think we're ever going to see the other books?
Yes.
Really? Oh, both of them?
Yeah. I think he's going to. Like, as long as he's alive, I think he'll finish them.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. I think so.
I think he's already done with Winds of Winter. I think he's been done.
I'm not sure about that.
I think he's sitting on it.
But that'd be weird.
Well, it's competition with
this show,
and everyone's going to be just doing a comparison thing. I think he's probably like, well, what's the benefit of me releasing it now if everyone's going to be constantly doing back and forth between it? If I wait until after, people got to digest the show, and then they'll still want more, and they'll be able to jump back in here.
It's true. It's a reasonable point. I just wanted the point. The benefit to him would be people would stop saying he can't finish writing books.
I don't think he cares about that. he's rolling in
HBO money. Second thing I want to mention, Urine in the Gold Company was actually a big thing on Times Square in the 70s.
I knew it.
All right. I think that's time to wrap up because Randy's old. He likes pee. All right, guys. Thank you all for joining. Thank you, listeners. And until next week,
TV Dudes out.
The TV Dudes is an independently run podcast and a member of the Permanent Record Podcast Network. We are exclusively listener supported. If you'd like to help us out, please go to patreon.com/TV Dudes. You can like us on Facebook and Twitter @TV Dudes and help us out on iTunes by giving us a 5-star rating and writing a review. To find out more about us, go to thetvdudes.com and permanentrcrd.com. I'm Grant Davis. Thanks for listening. Tricks and dicks. And then more dicks.
And then more ticks.
And then more dicks on those dicks.
There's only one tick.
And those dicks make baby dicks.
Yes. And those tricks and those dicks do not make babies because they use a condom.